Joining us right now, we have a very special guest, Fox News contributor, former GOP congressman, and also former BYU kicker Jason Chaffetz is joining us over the phone. Jason, it's a pleasure to get you on the show. Looking forward to the conversations. I appreciate the time.
Oh, glad to be on with you. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah. I think we're going to have a good time here. And for those who say, well, Jason sounds familiar, yes, from time to time, you fill in for Jimmy Failla on our morning block here on KOAL. And so we've actually got to hear from you quite a bit as of late. And I know that we're going to hear from you again relatively soon, the week of Thanksgiving, right?
I think so. I'm filling in later this month. I can't remember what day it is. But, yeah, Jimmy's, you know, he's off doing his comedy shows and whatnot. And every once in a while they say, hey, come fill in. It's just, you know, like on the Fox television, get to fill in for Hannity or Laura Ingraham. And it's a fun gig.
Now, what's that like? So here you are. You're basically, I don't know, you're like the sixth man off the bench in the NBA, right? They just tag you in whenever they need a filler. What's that like, not knowing your schedule from week to week?
Hey, it's better than being in Congress. I'm telling you, look at Congress. It's a cluster right now. So it's good. You know, I can bob and weave, and I can be at home and all over the country. I go to New York once or twice a month, and I love talking about issues and what's happening on the day. And whether they call 10 minutes beforehand or, you know, schedule it 2 weeks out, it's all good to me. They give me a big megaphone over there, and I couldn't ask for more.
Yeah, you know, I follow you on Facebook, and I see you and your lovely wife. You guys are all over the place, right? So before I ask the question, if you'll ever get back into politics, I guess if the answer to that is yes, my question would be why? Because it seems like right now you got a great gig. You're going all over the place. You're filling in on radio, filling in on TV. It's just kind of a fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants moment. At least that's the way it's perceived.
Yeah, and, you know, I also get these book deals. I've done 4 books, 3 of which have been New York Times bestsellers, and I just signed a contract to actually do a 5th book. So that takes a lot of time, but it really doesn't matter as much as more in today's world where you are as much as your availability to actually go off and do what you need to do. And, you know, you got to go to New York to do some of this stuff in person, but the technology is such... will I run for another office? I always say I'm a definite maybe, because I do like the public service. I do miss being in the fight, the scrum of things. But I also believe in my heart of hearts, you get in, serve, and then you get out. But will I maybe get back in again? Yeah, you know, I think about that. I don't see any reason to close the door on that.
It's probably in your blood, isn't it?
I do. I love it, you know, and... You know, I feel very blessed, and I care about the direction of our country and of our state, and I don't want this state of ours to turn into California, and I the country, I believe, is off track, and we're doing stupid stuff, and so, you know, the way our framers set it up more than 250 years ago, yeah, you got to get in and give your voice and represent Utah, represent the people, but, you know, I've also said I'm kind of keen on the idea of maybe at some point running for governor of the state of Utah. That would be, what an honor, what an opportunity, what a privilege. I don't know if I'll do that, but I'm, you know, something I'm thinking about.
Yeah, you know, I my wife and I, we have this conversation quite a bit because I have a 9-year-old and I have a 3-year-old. And I told my wife just the other night, I'm convinced we are alive in the dumbest time in the history of the world. Would you agree with that? Like, this is a stupid time to be alive, Jason.
There are plenty of stupidity and a lot of idiots, and you can't, you know, the world is run by those that show up, and so, you know, I got grandkids. I'm obviously older than you. If you got a 9-year-old and a 3-year-old, good for you. That's such impressionable ages, right? The world they're growing up in is so different than how I grew up or my parents grew up, and you know, a lot of it's good, but a lot of it's really bad, and I just want to be left alone. I think I've got a bit of a libertarian leaning to me. And just like, get out of my face, will you? I don't need all of your control and regulation. Just get out of my grill and let me do what I want to do. You know, if I'm not harming anybody else, just leave me alone, will you? But the federal government seems to be omnipresent, right? It's everywhere all the time.
If we talk about issues, and with you being, you know, a former representative of this congressional district, a lot of energy production in this district. What needs to happen in D.C.? I mean, this is probably a very hot topic, and I'm sure people around this area would love to hear this answer. What needs to happen in D.C. with policy?
Well, Well, it's a national security issue. It is a quality of life issue. We have to be energy independent. We have to be energy dependent only on ourselves. Why do we have to rely on Saudi Arabia or somebody else to fuel our future? And hey, I'm an all-of-the-above energy guy. If you want to go produce wind and solar, great, go ahead. But don't take money out of my pocket to subsidize what you're doing. Because you know what? We got coal. We got other things that can already generate the electricity that we do. And we do it very cleanly. We do it cleaner than anybody else in the world. And so you look at everything that's going on with Russia and Ukraine. You look at what's going on with Iran and its influence on Hamas and Hezbollah. We're fueling the terrorism that supposedly the country is very much opposed to. But if we were energy independent and we could drive down the cost of fuel and energy, then guess what? Iran wouldn't have the money it needed to fuel the terrorism. Russia wouldn't have the money that it needs to try to take over Ukraine. It would starve those people from the very things that they want, the money to buy weapons, to terrorize the rest of the world and destroy not just Israel, but the United States of America. So we have the answer right in our backyard. I mean, literally, you know, Carbon County, Emery County, we got this stuff just sitting it literally under the earth right below us. And yet you got these yahoos in D.C. who think who've never been here, who just think that they can, you know, they know better and that's going to kill people. And it's just like, no, folks, we got to be energy independent.
When you talk about carbon in Emery County, you're a representative, right, of this, you were a representative of this district. When you try to get the rural, I guess, situation or the rural mindset home to those in D.C., tell me how frustrating that is, because I know that in these counties and rural areas throughout the state of Utah, people feel like their voice is forgotten.
They do. It's hard for people to fathom, a county where 70, 80, 90 plus percent of the county is owned by the federal government. And then, you know, the one thing I did when I was in Congress that I really liked is I brought Elijah Cummings, who is from, Baltimore, Maryland out here. And we flew him around, we drove around, and he's looking down and he's like, he couldn't believe it. I mean, we saw these wells out there. We saw where they were taking out some natural gas. We saw, you know, kind of flew over where the coal mines are. And he had no idea how rural it really was. Like, he had absolutely no concept. So, but we're a small state. We got to band together with the Wyomings, the Nevadas, and, you know, of the world, and Idahos, and make the case. That's the way our framers said it should be. But it's hard for them to even fathom. They have no idea what PILT is, you know, the payment in lieu of taxes that goes back to the counties. They have no idea how the search and rescue happens when some couple comes out of California and decides, hey, look, those rocks look beautiful. Let's go climb them. Oh, whoops, we fell down. Now we got to get rescued. And, you know, the county's got to pick up all those expenses without reimbursement from the feds. It's just that. That's a fight. That's what your member of Congress and your senator and your governor, quite frankly, have to be advocating for all the time.
Again, our guest right now, Fox News contributor, former GOP Congressman Jason Chaffetz. We'll talk some BYU football here in a moment. But, Jason, I do want to get your thoughts on when the announcement came from Mitt Romney that he was going to retire as a one-term senator. What was your initial thought to that, and what does the future hold in that regard?
Well, you know, I want to be magnanimous. I was frustrated with Mitt Romney on several fronts, but, you know, we can thank him for his service. He's moving along. There's going to be a new election, a new senator. I'm not here to try to stomple on him. I thought the interaction with Donald Trump and whatnot was just ridiculous and absurd and not productive. But, you know, we're going to find a new senator. And increasingly I've said, look, that ain't going to be me. So I haven't finally closed the door on that and made an announcement, hey, I'm not going to do it. But the more I look at it, the more I think, you know, there are other people that can serve.
If we talk about the media side of things, and this is so interesting to me, as you mentioned, this is about availability. It doesn't really matter where you're at in the country anymore. You can hop right on. I mean, you have the Jason in the House podcast, right? Like the Jason Chaffetz podcast. That's still hot. If I'm not mistaken, there's over 140 episodes of this thing.
Oh, yeah. I hope people have a chance to just type in Jason in the House and anywhere you listen to podcasts, and some fascinating people. It's more about kind of how did they become who they became, and there's some really good ones in there.
And then you have the book deals that you talked about. Was it The Puppeteers? Is that the latest book?
The Puppeteers, yeah. New York Times bestseller list. It's on the New York Times bestseller list for like 4 weeks. It did really, it's the best-selling book I've had so far. And if you think Joe Biden's controlling the White House and doing everything, you're sorely mistaken. And it kind of peels back and follows the money and shows how things are actually done and who's in control there in Washington, D.C. I couldn't have written it without 8 years in Congress, and but I think people will be like shocked and surprised. They're going to see a perspective if they read the book or listen to the audio. I did the audio, too, that they've never heard or seen before. We just not been exposed.
There's so many other works going on. I guess we can't really say your post-political career, but I mean, it's just a completely different avenue. What is the most rewarding for you? Because you're on TV, you're filling in on the radio, you have the podcast, a New York Times bestseller. What's the most challenging and what is the most rewarding for you, Jason?
I guess most rewarding is the better balance with my family. I happen to love my wife and adore our kids, and I love being in Utah. You know, when I was chairman of the Oversight Committee, I was home 4 or 5 days a month, and sometimes just for 12 or 18 hours at a time. And that's hard, again, if you love your wife and adore your kids. So that's hard. What I really love, which is very nice, is when I sat down with Fox, they said, "We don't have to, all we want you to do is be authentic, just be you. You don't have to say or do anything. Just we're paying you to, you know, tell it like you see it." And so I get to weigh in on the biggest issues and have an influence there. And I still talk to these senators and congressmen, but, you know, more importantly, I can go out on Sean Hannity's program like I'm scheduled to do on Friday night. And, you know, I'll talk to 3 or 4 million people. And not many people get an opportunity to do that on an almost daily basis.
Again, our guest right now, Fox News contributor, former GOP Congressman Jason Chaffetz, also a BYU kicker. Jason, I had a chance to chat with you. Boy, it's been 5, 6, 7 years. I remember I asked you if you'd make a phone call Ty Detmer, tell him to give his Heisman Trophy to Rocket Ishmael because that's where it should be. Did you ever make that call?
No. Story for you. I got a quick story for you.
Yeah, let's hear it.
We're playing in the Freedom Bowl, and Ty Detmer comes in the latter part of the game. We're playing against the University of Colorado. We drive down. We're losing by 3 points. Ty Detmer throws an incomplete pass. I come in. I kick a 35-yard field goal or so. I kicked 2 field goals in the last 4 minutes. I came back, you know, Colorado got the ball back. They drove down, threw an interception. We drove down. Ty threw another incomplete pass. I kick another field goal. So I kicked 2 field goals. Ty throws for no touchdown passes. He runs for no touchdown passes. Who's the most valuable player of the game? Ty Detmer. And I like, "Come on, Ty." And he's like, "Yeah, you better get used to that." It's true.
Is that why it was such an easy transition for you into politics? Like, kickers are in a no-win situation. It doesn't matter what level. The only time we ever talk about a kicker is when he misses, right? It's the same thing in politics. It's a no-win situation. Is that why it was such an easy transition for you?
I love it. I do not mind the pressure of it. You know, everybody gets all nervous and all, you know, they're shaking when it's coming down and you got to kick that thing. I just love it. Are you kidding? Just something weird about me that I don't mind being in the moment and feeling the heat of it. The bigger the situation, the more I love it. So I loved it. And thanks for not calling me a football player because, you know, they touch me, they throw a flag, so kicker is the right way to describe it.
Listen, kickers and punters are people, too. I say that all the time on the show.
Well, here's the thing I like to remind people. I never missed a kick. Let me put it another way. We never lost a game by the margin of my missed kicks. Otherwise, you know, I'd be living in Arizona or Wyoming or Idaho or something. There's no way you could, for political office in Utah, having lost a game, not for BYU.
What are your takes on BYU joining the Big 12? I think it's been fantastic. I mean, we don't have to talk about the wins and losses on the field, but the idea of just joining the Big 12 conference and knowing what it's going to look like with the schedules being released all the way through 2027, what are your thoughts on the future of the program?
I'm glad we're finally in a big conference. I mean, bigger games, bigger opportunities, week in and week out playing top-tier teams. I think it's great for the program. Tougher, raises the bar. I think recruiting will improve. You know, I look at Coach Whittingham and the youth. I am so proud of them. They are awesome. I just think they are doing such a great job. I root for them every week, you know, except when they're playing BYU. And, you know, I look at where they took that University of Utah football program by being in the Pac-12. I don't know what's going to, you know, they're coming over too, but it's just such an elevation. It was still helpful to the state and a great program. And so I hope BYU can take advantage and do the same thing. I think it's all, and we love football in this state, and it's good rivalry games and all that, but football is kind of ingrained in our psyche, and, you know, we want all those programs to do well, except, you know, when they're playing each other.
No question. And the idea that Utah and BYU are now going to play, I mean, it is on the schedule moving forward from 2024 on to 2027. This is a game that has to be played in the state of Utah. I think it's a travesty when these two don't share the football field.
Absolutely. We totally miss. I mean, everybody always look forward to that. I was the starter in 1988-89, okay, a long time ago. I have two school records for kicking the most extra points and the most attempted and most game made in a game when we beat Utah 70 to like 50-something. But then the next year, we went up to the University of Utah, and they trounced us. I think I came in for like one extra point, and they killed us. So it's such a great rivalry. There's nothing like the BYU-Utah football game, and you should play it every year.
This is going to be the most difficult question I think I'm going to ask you all day. I got to get a LaVille Edwards story out of you. I have to.
Well, LaVille, a couple things. LaVille Edwards, he was a deep snapper when he was up at Utah State. And so every once in a while at practice, he'd get back and deep snap while I was, you know, kicking field goals. And I remember he did it once and I missed. And I said, boy, that was a bad snap. And he just turned and looked at me like, shut up. No, it wasn't. It was your fault. It was pretty funny. I love LaVille. I miss him. He was the impact that he's had on countless young men turning into men. Just a great coach, an absolute mentor, and I miss him.
Again, being joined right now by Jason Chaffetz, Fox News contributor, former GOP congressman. Jason, you talked about filling in for Jimmy here relatively soon. I know the schedule's always up in the air, but what do you have in the works here relatively soon?
It's on the 20th. I'll figure it out. Yeah, it's coming up. And look, I'll keep being on Fox right around the corner. Books, just, you know, my Twitter and everything else. It just, you can follow me at Jason in the House. But yeah, looking forward to it. So, nope, it's not the 20th. I can't figure out when it is.
It's the week of Thanksgiving sometime, right?
Yeah. Oh, there it is. November 30th.
Okay.
November, the week after Thanksgiving, I'm hosting that. But I host a lot of shit. You know what happens when the holidays happen? I get really popular around Fox because all the main anchors, they want to take off and know that I'll come in and fill in. So I'll do it for Hannity, Laura Ingraham, Arna Romo at Sunday Morning Futures, all that. I get busy around Christmas, Thanksgiving. It's good. Can't complain.
Oh, well, I've enjoyed our talk over the last 20 minutes or so, Jason. It was a pleasure to get you on. Hopefully we can do it again relatively soon.
You just let me know. I'm a phone call away, and I'd love to come visit you in person, but thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.